world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Ward Nuxley. Here's Phil. What are you looking at?
Hey, Nuxley, you're supposed to be the announcer.
Wait a minute. Wait. Thank you very much, Ward. Or is it Wade?
I told you it's Wade.
You just called yourself Ward.
You did, Ward, you called yourself Wade.
My name is Ward.
Didn't you? Thanks a lot, man.
You see what I'm saying? This is not going to work out.
Oh, why don't you park it up?
Park it up by what? Kill the music, Dickman. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Don't kill the music.
Park it up by what, Nuxley?
Nothing.
No wonder this program's out of control, Phil. There you are at the center of it. The man who should be refereeing, officiating, the man who should be moderating, I believe is the word. And there you are. La ha 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 ha. That's what you do. That's what you are. And I'm sick of it.
All right. Okay, bud. Thank you with the music. Are you serious?
No.
Thanks a lot, Ward or Wade. My name is Wade Nuxley for the 600th time.
You said Ward.
Bullshit.
Hey, I'm going to fire you as fast as I hired you.
Sorry. I didn't mean to say, well.
Yes, you did.
No.
Why don't you guys cease fire with this cat? What's the story?
What do you mean cease fire with this cat? We haven't done a thing. He comes in, calls himself Ward or Wade.
Well, if you're going to argue about it.
Hey,
take a powder, man. Go, what do you mean take a powder? What does that mean?
Just go and sit.
What, in a toilet?
I'll deal with it. Get out of here.
Hey, don't push me.
Get out of here.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Jesus, Phil, you should have heard yourself. That's
how I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling almost hysterical. Welcome to our show, the Phil Henry Show. And tomorrow, I was saying during the pre-show, I had to talk about this on the show, so I'll talk about it on the show. Tomorrow, we have a very important meeting at 11 o'clock in the morning, and at the same token, or at the same time... See, you know, I have to have... What am I talking about anyway?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I know. It was today.
Yeah, today you were supposed to go in for the scan. You didn't because they called up and said they can't because the guy wasn't there.
That's right. I had to go in. I get an annual physical, as we all should. I guess at a certain age you really should, but everybody should go in for a physical. And one of the things that you should have if you've been a smoker, and I was a cigarette smoker for 43 years until I quit in 2009...
So you started smoking at what age?
14.
Oh my, are you bullcrapping me or something? 14?
Yeah, that's when people start smoking.
All right, Phil, God.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean.
Okay, 14, God, didn't your parents do anything about it?
My parents couldn't do anything about anything. My parents were barely around, if you want to get the honest facts on the table. Okay?
Yeah, okay, God.
All right, Phil, gotta start talking about your deprived youth again. I don't talk about it near enough. I don't talk about it as much as I should. Anyway, I started smoking when I was 14, and I smoked all the way until I was 57 years of age. And what happened was, I quit. And then I found out about this, you know, smoker's scan that you should have.
Wait a minute, I thought you don't get cancer if you quit smoking.
Well, that's what the thinking is, but you should have this scan, right, Phil?
Yes, if you're an ex-smoker, you should have this scan for a few years after you've quit. I don't know, there's a certain period of time, and then they say you don't need it anymore. So I think I'm like halfway almost done with it or something. The next 2 or 3 years, I should have an annual scan. So I was supposed to go in on Monday, where was it, Tuesday. What's the date today, anyway?
Today is the 5th, or no, today's the 6th.
Well, today's the 6th, yeah. So, I was supposed to go in yesterday, the 5th. No, I was supposed to go in today, the 6th. I don't even...
Would you get to it?
I've got to go in today, but I can't. No, it was yesterday, and they called it off.
You know, you're starting to hack me up.
Yes, it was. It was yesterday, and they called me up, and they said that the radiologist was not available. So, that went belly up. And I spent the day after returning from Florida just sitting on my ass, really not doing much of anything, just kind of reading... And going over some things having to do with the website and other such business. So I got to go in next week.
So the guy that does the radiological scans wasn't at work.
Yeah, for some reason this cat did not show up. And they said we have to reschedule. I said that's, you know, fine. It was the weirdest thing because I was getting like 5 or 6 phone calls from these people. So that now today I was supposed to go and have more of this tattoo removed.
Oh, my God. That... This is something that, you know what, I didn't want you to talk about.
Well, I'm talking about it because it messed. I had to cancel that because I got this meeting coming up at 11.
This tattoo removal, Phil, Jesus. Sure you want to talk about it? This is something is going to put you at odds with every woman out there.
There's a lot of women who found out that I'm having the tattoo removed who said, yeah, way to do it. Thumbs up.
Yeah, a lot of them saying, you know, thumbs up.
Oh, really? Are they saying thumbs up? Wait a minute. Yes. Because, like, for instance,
who is telling you thumb... That tattoo that you're having removed, Phil, at the behest, I understand, of Jackie, and I understand that, okay?
Yeah.
You know?
All right, Margaret, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Forget it.
Yeah, that's right, because you know what? If Frank had a tattoo like that, you'd ask him to have it removed.
Frank, let me tell you something, homeboy. Frank had the tattoo of a... I shouldn't say this. He had a lion tattooed across his ass. Okay.
Did you have him remove it?
Did I have him remove it or someone else?
Well?
No, because it wasn't a woman. Oh!
Yeah. Margaret, don't go butch when you score a point.
All right, but you know what I mean.
Well, I'm having a tattoo removed, but I gotta cancel the appointment for today because of this other meeting. So, and I'm almost done.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of women out there are going to find that very offensive.
Well, I'll tell you this. When I had my booster shot, I got that COVID booster two Sundays ago. Yeah, two Sundays ago. And we're in there, and I roll up my sleeve, and the woman goes, oh, you have some bruising there on your arm.
Now, this is the where the tattoo's being removed.
Yeah, because there's hardly anything left of it now. There's just a few... You know, some dark spots. And she said, what's that bruising? I said, oh, I'm having a tattoo removed. And she said, oh, okay. And she proceeded to administer the shot. She said, well, what was it? I said, well, it was a tattoo of my ex. And this female said to me, oh, yeah, that's got to go.
Well, that's one woman. No, that's every single woman that I talk to
who says, what's that? It's a tattoo. It used to be, oh, yeah, got to go. Maybe there's some women that don't care.
Well, what about you, Margaret? What if Frank, what if it wasn't a... God, spit it out. What
was it? I'll spit it out, all right.
Yeah, what about you? Do you spit it out?
All right, wait a minute.
Tell him to apologize now.
But I'm sorry, Dad, it just came out.
I had to kick your ass.
Wait a minute. What, General?
Well, forget about it, Jesus.
So...
I was going to say, didn't you have... What if Frank had a woman's face tattooed on his ass? What about that? Then I'd take it off myself with a skinning knife. How's that feel?
Jesus, Cuddle.
Sorry I asked.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that kind of brought the conversation to a blind halt here.
Yeah, you got that right, homeboy.
Anyway, that was what I did, and that's how I did it, and I don't want to go any further into the conversation. On the line with us from San Marino, California, on a completely different topic, and we haven't had this gentleman with us for a long time, is Harvey Wireman. The retired attorney at law from San Marino. Harvey, great to talk with you. You're in the bathtub. I know Bud told me. How's it feeling?
Well, I got to tell you, it feels good, Phil. I haven't had a bath in quite some time, which is not to say that I don't bathe. I do bathe, but I hold on for a minute. And ladies and gentlemen, Phil will tell you I have a chronic phlegm problem. I just got to clear my throat.
Are you taking any kind of medicine for it, Mr. Wireman?
No, Bud, I'm not taking any medicine. I'm just every now and again clearing my throat.
The hot tub will feel good for you, though.
Yes, it will, Bud. Thank you very much. The tub feels fantastic.
Well, when did all of a sudden you get cozy with Bud?
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
Watch it, Bud. You're already skating on thin ice. You with the whole thank you, Bud.
Hey, the kid helped me out today. What is with her?
She's pissed off because Bud got smart with her, said something about, I bet you don't spit it out.
Oh my God, are you kidding? Hold on. Oh my God, are you kidding?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
You like that, huh, Harvey? Let me tell you what. Stick around, because if the kid gets smart again, as I said to the general, if he had a tattoo on his ass... The way that I... Never mind.
You got a tattoo on your ass?
Wait a minute. This is a whole different topic of conversation, and we're off into goofy land here. We have Harvey Wireman with us, Margaret Gray with us.
Well, wait a minute. She just said she's got something tattooed on her ass.
I meant I was talking to the guys about Frank having a tiger tattooed on his ass, and they asked, well, what if it was a woman? Then I said, I'd remove it myself with a skinning knife. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you with all of a sudden with the squeaky voice. When did that start?
I got scared, okay? What do you think is going to... Jesus.
Look, let's be friends here. We're talking to Harvey Weirman. Harvey, you've written a book, and I think people should know about it. It's called Without a Trace, and this is about the disappearance of Neumann Weaselfen. Is that right?
Look at this guy laughing. One of the dearest friends that I... He wasn't really a dear friend, but he could have been a dear friend.
But when you say dear friend, you're talking about D-E-A-R?
What?
Yes, bud. What do you think he means?
Instead of dear friend, D-E-E-R, he could have been a hunting buddy or something.
Henry, I want to ask you something. Are you fucking with me?
Hey, watch the language, please.
All right, I'm sorry.
Bud, enough with the jokes.
I'm not joking. That's what I thought.
Look, the kid made an honest... Hey, the kid made an honest mistake. Harvey, how you doing? It's General Shaw.
Hey, I'm great, General Shaw. Great to talk with you. I want to talk about this book that I wrote.
I know. It's called Without a Trace, and I simply wanted to ask you... Aren't there enough books out there already called Without a Trace?
I don't know. It's the working... What do you mean, is there enough books out there?
Well, there's a lot of books out there, Harvey, about missing individuals called Without a Trace.
Well, mine's not called Without a Trace. I think mine is called something like Poof, you know, in a puff of... I know, it's called... It's not Without a Trace. I got to ask my daughter. Carolyn, what's the name of my book?
It's called Puff and He's Gone. Poof.
Yeah, it's called Poof. And the subtitle is, And There He Went. You know what? This isn't worth it at all.
What's wrong, Dad?
They're giving me a bunch of shit.
Harvey, I'm sorry. It just was very funny. Poof, and there he went.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Yes, that's the name of it. It's about the disappearance of one of the most gifted legal minds that I ever had the opportunity to work with. Neumann Weaselfen went missing... I can, if you want me to tell you about the book.
We do want you to tell us about the book, and I'm sorry, Harvey, that we're getting into it in such a sloppy manner. It's been a little bit of a sloppy open to the show.
Well, so what else is new? It's sloppy open to the show. Okay. Hey, honey, I'm talking to speak.
Okay, Harvey, thank you very much. Let's just stick with the people that you're talking to right here, and let's talk about the book.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, the book is called Poof, There He Went, The Disappearance of Neumann, Neumann Weaselfen. And
let me ask you something. How are you spelling Weaselfen?
How am I spelling it? What is he applying for Social Security?
No, just how is it spelled?
Weaselfen. Weaselfen. First name Neumann. Noiman.
Now, I got to ask you this. Was he an American?
Yes, he was an American. Why would you? Do you think the name is exotic?
It sounds very exotic, yeah. The name sounds exotic.
Oh, does it sound exotic? You know, Phil...
Well, where is this cat from, America?
Yes, the cat's from America. I guess he's a Finnish extraction, something like that.
Would he Finnish? Huh?
Finnish as in the country of Finland.
Oh, I thought
he... No, he's not... Yes, he is Finnish because he went missing. One can only assume... One can only assume that he's dead.
Well, there's the question right there. That's the $64,000 question. Where is he dead? Was he declared legally dead?
Yes, he was. Well, he wasn't just declared legally dead because they couldn't find... They found him eventually, but...
Where did they find him?
They found him, as crazy as this is going to sound, they found him in a tree, not more than 100 yards from his home. And...
Wait a second. In a tree, not more than 100 yards from his home.
That's what I said. I'm not stuttering.
Well, all right. So before we get into how that happened, this book is about the disappearance of this man and the difficulty in finding him, correct?
That is correct, yes. Now, what happened, and as I understand it, because as I said, I worked with him as a young attorney, and all of a sudden he went missing. He walked out his front door. At the time, he had a roommate, a guy by the name of Foyne Albaghetti. And Foyne...
Wait a minute. One guy's Neumann and the other guy is Foyne.
Yeah, that's right. Am I going to have to sit and explain all this, Phil?
All right, so his name is Foyne Albaghetti.
The guy that went missing is Neumann Weaselfen.
Okay.
Foyne Albaghetti was his roommate. Both of these guys were lawyers. I knew Neumann very well, but Al Baghetti said he was making a ham sandwich for lunch, looked up, Neumann said, I'll see you in a bit, I'm going to go mail a letter. And out the door he went, and then this guy, Al Baghetti, remember, I got to tell him something to pick me up a pack of Camels or something. I think he didn't need a pack of cigarettes. He opens the door, the guy's gone. And he couldn't find him anywhere. He walked out the front, couldn't find him, looked out the back, couldn't find him. This guy was gone. In just a matter of time that it took for him to say goodbye and walk out the front door, and this guy, Al Baghetti...
This guy, Al Baghetti, goes out the front door having remembered he wanted to tell him something.
Yes, and when he went out the front door, the guy's gone.
So this guy, what is this, a house, an apartment?
Yeah, it was an apartment that these two guys were rooming together. Now, you know, this guy's walking around the building looking to see...
Where were you at this time, Harvey?
What do you think? I had something to do with a guy disappearing?
No, I'm just wondering, where were you?
At that particular time, I was working at... I had started my career as an entertainment attorney. I'd been working at producing a couple TV shows. All right, so I was well on my way, you know.
Okay, so these two guys are younger lawyers.
Very young, but very, very smart guys. Guys that I admired. So this guy, Weaselfin, goes out the front door, and he's missing. And they can't find him out front. They can't find him out back. He's missing for about 24 hours. They call the police in. And then a shoe, some kid playing in the outer perimeter of this apartment complex, gets hit in the head with a shoe. And he looks up, and there's Weaselfin laying in the tree, sort of just laying, looking down at the kid with his eyes open. But he was dead, and the shoe had dropped off of his foot. And that's how they found Neumann Weaselfin. But it was a mystery for 24 hours.
Where was this?
This was out in Santa Monica. And this was investigated by L.A. County Sheriff and the Santa Monica Police. And for the 24 hours, they had no idea where this guy went.
All right, now comes the $64,000 question. How did he get in a tree?
Well, you know, this is something no one has been able to determine exactly, but there are theories.
Well, wait a minute. What was the cause of death?
Well, the cause of death is he'd been beaten to death and had a skull fracture.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and a number of other injuries. And then was put in this tree. And so the police, when they found him, they you know, dusted. I don't think you dust a tree for prints, but they tried to figure out how he got up there. Was it a stepladder? Did somebody? I mean, how do you put a man in a tree after you've beaten him to death?
There's another $64,000 question.
All right, so that, just so I know, the guy was beaten to death, and then he's in the tree.
I don't know. He might have been beaten to death when he was in the train. But here's a guy that walks out the front door of his apartment, and his roommate, this guy, Foyn Al Baghetti, says to Weaselfin, hey, see you for dinner, or wherever they, you know, whatever they said. And he goes, oh, wait a minute. I wanted you to pick me up a pack of Camels. He goes out the front. No trace of this guy anywhere. So within the first 2 or 3 seconds of this man walking out the front door of his apartment, he was beaten to death and then placed in a tree about 50 to 100 yards from the apartment.
Well, okay. Was he beaten to death beforehand?
That's a good point. I mean, I might have been premature. At some point, he might have been picked up and put in a tree and then beaten to death up there. But no one really knows. And
did they solve the crime?
No, they haven't solved it. They haven't arrested anyone. The reason why I bring it up to you, Phil, is and the reason why I wrote the book is because you guys have gone on and on about this traveling squirrel.
No, wait, hold on. You're not going to tell me you think a squirrel beat this guy to death.
No, I'm not saying that. But that's what got me interested in writing about this, because for many, many years, we all wondered, well, how was that Neumann was placed in this tree, and was he beaten to death before he got up there?
This is going to sound crazy, but, I mean, maybe he beat himself to death.
So anyway, we tried to...
Dickman, just quit while you're ahead.
Thank you, Bud, very much.
Where's Margaret?
Margaret, where are you?
I'm in the toilet, for Christ's sake.
Oh, sorry, Miss Gray. I forgot to tell him.
Thank you.
Margaret, she was doing what?
She's in the... Here she is.
I was in the toilet. I was hoping the guys would cover... So I heard the entire story here of this man, Neumann Wieselfen, and I understand that the man was went missing after leaving to go somewhere. Where was he going, by the way?
Well, he was on his way to the office, or the office that he shared here with Foyn Albaghetti. And they were a couple of junior partners at that time. So, but that's when Albaghetti said, pick me up a pack of camels. And Wieselfen said, sure thing. Or he said, pick up. And he didn't think he heard him, so he ran outside. The guy's gone. And they can't find him anywhere.
Until they find him sitting in this tree.
He wasn't sitting, Margaret. He was laying across the branches, and he'd been beaten to death.
Now, what is this thing about the traveling squirrel?
I just got in mind to write the book and reinvestigate the disappearance of Neumann Wieselfen when I was thinking about the traveling squirrel and how nuts Henry is and the rest of his listeners thinking the thing's real.
I don't think the traveling squirrel is capable of murdering anybody, if that's what you mean. I know it's real because I hear it all the time on these phone calls with people. I don't think the thing is real, and I certainly don't think it could kill a man or beat him to death and then carry him into a tree.
Well, I didn't say that either.
Well, what are you saying about the traveling squirrel?
Just the fact that the traveling squirrel inspired me.
All right, so the traveling squirrel got you to think about this man sitting in a tree.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so I wrote this book called Poof, and He's Gone. And
Poof, and He's Gone.
Yes. What? How many times I got to tell you that, Phil?
Well, it sounds like it might have changed the name.
Poof, and He's Gone. It's not called Without a Trace.
No, it's not called Without a Trace.
We're talking with Harvey Wireman here about a book he's written called Poof, and He's Gone, about the disappearance of a young attorney, Neumann Wieselfen, correct?
Yes, yes. Neumann Wieselfen, a hell of a guy, and a young man who I liked very much, and I thought was going to be capable of some great things. I really, really did. I really, 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 really did. And now he's dead, and nothing going to...
Hey, Harvey, how long has this guy been dead?
Well, that's a good point. About 40 years, so I shouldn't be bawling like a bitch about it, but...
What did they think happened to him?
Well, what they feel happened to him was that he got mugged. And he put up a fight, and was, whoever mugged him got the better of him, and stuffed his body up in a tree so no one would find it.
You gotta be kidding.
What do you mean, I gotta be kidding? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, is that... So a guy gets beaten to death, and then the guy that did it puts him in a tree.
Apparently they did, because that's where they found him.
And you think, or they think, the authorities think it was a mugging.
They thought it was a mugging, because his wallet was missing, and his wristwatch.
His wallet was missing and his wristwatch, but he's up in a tree.
How many times these people... Phil, do you get some smart people I can talk to?
Hey, listen, Harvey. It is an unusual case, and you know that. If the man is mugged, okay. If he's beaten to death, I understand. Tragic though it may be. But to be mugged and beaten to death and then put in a tree, that is unusual.
Well, Margaret... I will tell you what. Why don't you call the Santa Monica City Police?
All right, Harvey, no sense in being an asshole, okay? These are good questions.
Asshole? That's what I'm being? I wrote a book. I spent endless hours researching this.
How much research did you put into this? Sounds to me like you dashed it off one night when you were thinking about the traveling squirrel.
Oh, my God, did you say that about me?
Well, all right, how long did it take you to research this book?
Look... I talked to the Santa Monica police officers that did the investigation. I talked to Foyn Albaghetti, the roommate, who told me all the specifics. And I remembered how I felt at the time. I remember when they said, we can't find Neumann. We can't find head nor hair of this guy Neumann Wieselfen. Do you know where he is? Harvey. And I said, how dare you ask me? What, do you think I'm a murderer? And they said, no, but...
we don't think you're a murderer, but you know, it's you look like one, and so we have to. And I said, ha ha ha, funny joke. And they said, maybe, but maybe not. It's a joke. And so we went round and round with that.
Okay, that's fine. So, but the point being.
Okay, that's fine. Sorry, Phil, didn't mean to bore you.
The point being that you never found out, or the police never found out who did it.
The police never found out who did it, and poof, there he goes, is the first definitive chronicling of what happened to this guy, you know, Neumann Weiselfen.
Harvey Weierman, my guest on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we talk about the disappearance in the book, Poof, There He Goes, The Disappearance of Neumann Weiselfen. I don't mean to laugh.
Well, you just did. You just laughed at a dead man. A dead man, Phil. A man beaten to death, stuck in a tree.
And his shoe fell off and hit a kid on the head, and that's how they found him.
Oh, isn't that just...
All right, Harvey, I'm sorry.
No. Very funny, Phil. A man beaten to death in a tree.
All right, Harvey, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's grow up. I didn't mean to make it sound like I didn't care. Hey, look, Harvey, knock it off, will you? We get it already. Phil made a mistake. Should I hang up?
No, don't hang up. Jesus.
We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Billy Prescott Speed Shop, 59th and 15th in Broad City. Billy Prescott Speed Shop, cams, lubes, lubricators, all the fast track action that you need to get out on the roadway and burn up that asphalt like you're a body going to hell and back. Billy Prescott Speed Shop. Billy Prescott in Nerm City and Buford.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Wade Nuxley.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah?
Nothing, Wade. Thank you.
All right. I thought I heard somebody.
Don't shit's hand on the wall.
Phil Henry Show here. We have on the line Harvey Weierman from San Marino, California. Harvey is with us in the middle of a bath, and it must feel good. Harvey, you're a hard-working guy. Even though you're retired, you are still out there working, you know, pro bono, doing what you can, huh?
It's true, Phil, and I like being an attorney. I like helping people. You know, the book is a nice little piece of fun to write the book about Neumann and to see what happened to Weiselfen. Hopefully, somebody will know something.
Well, what are people going to know now that they didn't know 40 years ago?
I don't know. I have no idea, General, but. All we know is that Foyn Albaghetti turned, said goodbye to Neumann, and then said, hey, wait a minute, I want you to pick up a pack of Camel Straights. By the time he got to the door, he was gone. So he figured he got to his car, he's gone. Was he out back? Gone. Not a trace of this guy. 24 hours later, there's a kid with a yo-yo under the tree, and a shoe hits him on the head. He looks up. And there he is, Neumann Weiselfen, staring down at the kid with the eyes open. He was dead, but he had the dead man's eyes just looking at him with his mouth open as if he was saying, huh? And so that's where we've left it.
All right, so is it a cold case that the police have started to work again?
I don't think the police are working this. I think that they, hopefully with the publishing of this book and the discussion, et cetera, here on your show, Mr. Henry, that... the Santa Monica police may open this up. It's a cold case. I don't think that they've actively investigated it.
Well, let's go to some phone calls here on the Phil Henry Show. We have on the line with us Gloria Grover. Gloria, how are you?
Yes, hi. And hello, Harvey. It's Gloria Grover.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, when he was laying in the tree, you say he was laying in the tree?
Yes, he was laying across the branches, his arms dangling, one leg hanging down with a shoe had fallen off.
And so the shoe fell off. So his shoe was not very well tied on.
No, as a matter of fact, it was not very well tied on.
Well, that leads me to think that he was in a hurry to go to head. Where was he going?
He was on his way to work.
Well, why would a roommate ask for a pack of Camel Straights if he knows that his roommate is going off to work?
That's a very good question. I don't know the answer to that, other than to say that he's perhaps. thought he would deliver him to the cigarettes later on in the day.
Because that's suspicious right there. And he, my feeling is the following thing, that this man, Foonman, or what's his name?
Foyne Albaghetti.
That this man Albaghetti had something to do with it.
Well, there's a good point. That's an interesting take.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, it may be an interesting take. Well,
don't get your feelings hurt because somebody thought of this before you did.
My feelings are not hurt. You're saying that Foyne Albaghetti did it?
Yes, because he's the one that says they didn't see anything, and there might have been some professional jealousy.
Well, I don't know what professional jealousy. Yes, they were both attorneys in the same firm trying to work their way up. But to beat a man to death and then put him in a tree.
Was this man Foyne Albaghetti? Did he lift? Was he ripped?
Did he lift? Was he ripped?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, was this guy a bodybuilder?
I don't think so. No, but I do know that he was into mountain climbing and rock climbing.
Aha! So if he was into mountain climbing and rock climbing, he might have considered a challenge to beat the man to death and then carry his body up and lay it in a tree. What do you think?
Yeah, that's fine, except you don't need to yell, because this is what you're doing. Laid it in a tree!
Okay, I didn't know if you could hear me or not! Oh, my God.
Thank you very much, Gloria.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Jesus H. Christ, I'm deaf in one ear.
Okay, Harvey, but you know, knocking a woman like that, she got upset. Harvey Wireman has been my guest. The book is called Poof, and there he goes. This is the story of Neumann Weaselfen.
Yes, Neumann Weaselfen, who went missing for 24 hours. They found him in a tree.
Beaten to death.
Yes, beaten. And the more I talk about it on your show, the more I realize that all of this is a comedy bit. So
it's not a comedy bit, but, you know, some of the stuff's pretty funny.
Really? What's funny about a man beaten to death?
The fact that he's in a tree.
Jesus.
Okay. Harvey.
Okay.
I'm sorry, dude, but it does on some level. And it's an old, unsolved murder, 40-plus years. So it's not like it just happened yesterday and, you know, we're still sort of grieving the man. It's just one of those old cold cases.
Well, let me tell you something, Phil. I hope someday you don't become a cold case. And then when someone brings up, say, what happened to Phil Henry? They found him laying on a railroad track with his pants down. I wonder.
Thank you very much, Harvey Wireman.
Yeah, all right.
Found him laying on a railroad track with his pants down.
You didn't enjoy that, did you, Margaret?
No, I did not enjoy it. I thought it was juvenile. I thought it was some punk stuff. I really do. And you with that tattoo, you've got a lot of... Explain it to your female listeners.
Margaret?
Explain it to what remains of your female listeners.
I had a tattoo, as many of you know. It was of my ex, and...
Yes?
And my new lady, Jackie, would prefer that I not have it. And so I go in, and I have the tattoo removed, and I couldn't do it. I can't do it tomorrow because I got this other thing.
Yeah, because you had to go and have a scan done.
No, that was today. Tomorrow's a whole different thing, man.
What?
Aren't you glad you brought it up?
I think there's a lot of women are going to think you're a real clod for having that tattoo removed.
What do you think about it?
I think having it removed is a good idea. But that's just me.
Yeah, because you'd have the same thing taken off of Frank and you'd do it yourself with a skinning knife.
You got that right, homeboy.
All right, yeah. Oh.
Well?
Oh, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
Thank you very much, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, General Galen Shar, special guest Harvey Wireman. Look for his book, Poof, There He Goes.
That's right, it's called Poof, There He Goes. It's the way Phil said it.
No. And, anyway, all the best, folks.